Hello everyone, this is Alexandria Callahan, and this is Lady Comic Book History, where we discuss the history of female comic book characters, their evolution through comic books, their impact on comic book media and nerd culture in general.
The thing with Helena, I know I keep like bringing it up, but yeah, the reason why I keep bringing it up is so in Fire and Blood, Helena is actually relatively close with Rhaenyra. Like, they are sisters.
Yeah.
Now, she's married to Aegon, so by default, she has to be on Team Black. Or Team Green, excuse me.
Team Green, yeah. But she loves Rhae.
But she loves Rhaenyra. She loves her sister. And she mostly, like, some things happen, and I'm not going to give any spoilers, but some things happen that Rhaenyra is not aware of that happened to Helena. And the way that it reads to me is that Rhaenyra realizes that put Helena in a fragile state and tries to protect her sister. And it's up for debate on Helena's fate, on whether, like, whether it was self-inflicted or if somebody pushed her, right? And that's, like, really, really important because when that happens, that is when the dragon pit falls. And that's why it's important that we know Helena has a dragon named Dreamfire.
Right.
Dreamfire was a couple Rhaenys's back, her dragon.
I see.
And she's also pretty old, but she does not like what happens.
I'm
curious to see what they're gonna do with this final episode.
See, that whole episode had me so mad, and then that last 2 minutes, I'm so hyped now. She's gonna go tell Rhaenyra. She's gonna go tell Rhaenyra they named Aegon King. Yeah. Cause I'm sorry, the masturbating to a foot fetish was totally written by a dude.
I cannot believe they put that in there. Like,
and just the look on Rhaenys' face when she popped up with her dragon, that was written by a woman. Like, you can't tell me otherwise. That's like
like that. The process.
I'm picturing the writer's room where the dudes are on one side of the table and the women are on the other side of the table, and they're like, fine, you can have this moment with the dragon, but we are keeping the masturbation.
And somebody was like, greenlight this.
They're like, fuck you, fine. Like,
if you're going to make us endure the cringy 15 seconds of foot masturbation, you're giving me my dragon.
You're giving us a hot blonde on a dragon. That is what we're getting. Like, yep.
Oh my god, I cannot believe they did that.
I mean,
nothing should shock me, but that.
Not surprised. Disappointed, not surprised.
I am seeing a lot of things on TV that. I want to know how the actor dealt with that. I want to know if he had to go to therapy.
I feel bad for her. Like, she's reading this scene going, I do what? Like, take my socks off? Why? What?
Like, oh my god!
Terrible.
I will say this though: the one thing I did learn about House of the Dragon is that when it came to sex scenes, they did have a coordinator who discussed with the actors what they were okay with, what they weren't okay with. And, you know, obviously, like, if they felt uncomfortable with something, they could speak up. That's something that they have done that is better than
Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
I say Game of Thrones did not do that.
Because I remember watching Lena Headey talk about how she had to kind of fight for a body double because they wanted her to be nude.
And I remember hearing Emilia Clarke talk about how as soon as she had the money and the power, she stopped doing the nude scenes.
Yeah. Because have you seen the awful things that were said about poor Emilia Clarke online? The body shaming.
I'm like, so hot. What do you mean?
No,
what? No, like, I mean, genuinely really confused.
But yeah, there
were people. Oh, of course it was on Reddit.
Saying she had weird nipples and that her, like, she had ugly boobs. And I'm like, where?
Well, she's not for you. Apparently she's for the gays because fuck you.
Jason Momoa thinks she's fly, so.
She's super hot. I don't know what crack they're on.
Emilia Clarke. You know what, though? I'm just gonna say it. Emilia Clarke in that final interview before that last episode dropped. There were the last two episodes when they were like,
that poor girl.
When they were like, so how did you feel about your character? And then she goes, best season ever. I was like, oh.
Well, because even when like they were on the red carpet for the premiere, it was her. Oh God, I forgot her name. That plays Miss Andy and
Natalia Emmanuel.
Yeah, and Grey Worm, they're all standing there, and they're like, how do you feel about your character's ending? And all three of them look at each other and are like, I don't know if we're legally allowed to say. Like.
Well, and poor, like, they're trying to be as professional as possible, and Emilia Clarke just, that authenticity coming out. I knew it. I was like.
Because it doesn't make any sense.
This is going to be bad.
Doesn't make any sense.
It doesn't make any sense. Let's be honest.
It's funny because we got to the end of season 8 and I'm just laughing and my dad goes, "What? You hated the ending too?" I go, "I did, but I waited a week for it. You waited 3 years for it. How do you feel?" And he goes,
seriously.
"He goes, shut up. I don't like talking to you."
Listen, so I'm not a huge Jon Snow fan. I never have been. He comes off as petulant in the books. He is cruel at times to Sam.
He's also a big dumbass.
Really annoying. like
him being a good like leader of fighters does not translate to him being king.
Yeah. Also, he's dead. it's implied, maybe kind of. It's more of a theory that.
Well, here's my thing.
The last thing he says is ghost. So it's assumed by fans, and this has never been confirmed, that he warged, because all the Starks can warg, including Sansa, that he warged into Ghost. But if he's in Ghost, what was the one thing that Bloodraven, a.k.a. The Three-Eyed Raven, what did he say to Bran about warging for too long?
Mm-hmm.
That you become one with the animal. You become with my... So I actually think that's what Jon Snow's fate's going to be. And
well, my thing
it's funny to see him reduced to my queen.
My queen. She's my queen.
I don't want it.
Queen. I bet they knew she's my queen. Well, here's my thing with that is I love talking to Stark fans because they have no common sense.
I firmly love Sansa, though. I do.
He's he should be king. He was the rightful heir. Blah, 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 blah. I was like, first of all...
That's not even confirmed in the books.
But even if it is, being a distant heir with a penis is not more of an heir than the king's actual daughter.
Exactly.
But Mr. King of the North here watched the Night King raise the dead, and then when the Night King... When he knew the White Walkers were coming to the North... What should we do with all the people that can't fight? We should put them in the crypts where all the dead people live. And then, yes, let's name Sansa, I don't know how to use a knife, Stark, to be Queen of the North when the dead were raised and she's hiding behind a pillar while her people are dying. Okay.
Also, what was... Nothing will ever... It's still my top five funniest scenes ever is Jon Snow screaming at undead Viserion.
Also, I know there's probably more of it in the book, but everything that was revealed in the show about the prince that was promised, I'm sorry, but none of it fucking points to Jon. It's Dany.
It doesn't. It's
Dany.
there's loose things in the book. Like,
they're
very
like, well,
loose.
He was resurrected. I was like, yeah, but when did he wake dragons from stone? When did he do that? Oh, right, he did it. Danny did. Yeah, why don't we set them both on fire and then elect whoever survives
also,
to be queen?
Danny is Daenerys Stormborn, and she was born on Dragonstone, which was forged in fire from a volcano.
Yeah, that's really
she
interesting.
Was born among fire and salt.
A lot of people have tried to say, well, it points to both of them. I'm like, no, like, literally,
no, it doesn't.
Specific lines of the prophecy only apply to her.
So my big theory is that Daenerys is Azor Ahai. She is the prince that is promised. And that Jon Snow, in the form of Ghost, will become Lightbringer. That is my main running theory.
Great.
Because the White Walkers, the others, are terrified of the direwolves. Terrified. They don't really know what dragons are, but they are terrified of the direwolves, and they stay far away from them. So it makes sense that Ghost, being a purely white wolf, with Jon Snow residing inside of him, becomes Lightbringer. Because
season 8 was
loosey goosey translation.
Mess.
Like, ah, like,
it was so bad. Which is why
you know,
I think, as far as I know, they've been, and I know you've pointed out some of the inaccuracies, but they've been relatively accurate with House of the Dragon.
They're like,
well, we saw how badly the fans ripped apart Game of Thrones. We are not straying.
Like, we're not doing that. Well, the other Fire and Blood is more like a history book too, so there's a lot more wiggle room
for actual storytelling. Yeah.
And it could be chalked off, especially within the fandom, like, oh, well, the Maester was Team Green, and when you read Fire and Blood, it is very much biased Team Green. So of course the Maester's gonna leave out anything that makes Team Green look bad,
right?
No. And then you have, like, every once in a while you'll have, like, some maester that was Team Black that will write in a contradiction. And so you kind of have to, like, gauge where the truth is on your own.
Right.
And that's where George R. R. Martin is brilliant. That is where he is brilliant, is that he can subvert fantasy tropes. He really should stop, like, just... I'm actually kind of mad at him right now. I don't know if you saw it recently.
Well, my issue with this book even existing is, why don't you finish what you fucking started first before you start giving us history on shit? Like, at least Tolkien finished his crap before he started writing extra crap. Like,
yeah, no, we're having an extra second Fire and Blood book come out.
Or just finish
Winds of Winter
already. What?
But at this point, George R. R. Martin decided that he was going to support some fanfic called The Rise of the Dragon. Turns out that the author, Lynn Antonsen, is a bigot and a turf and a racist.
Well, I hate to say it, but that doesn't surprise me from George R. R. Martin.
I don't think he knows.
I think if he did, it wouldn't matter.
I'm not excusing it. I'm not at all. Like,
right.
He is well known enough that he should be doing his due diligence before putting his name on something.
Yes, he should be.
But I don't think
he realized.
And
it's not like he doesn't have the time to do it because he's not writing. So,
yeah, like, there's a whole Twitter thread. So I'm kind of like, I don't really care how the story is. If you're gonna support a bigot turf.
Yeah.
And I like House of the Dragon. I do. I love Rhaenyra.
I love Rhaenyra.
Poor Rhaenyra. I am firmly Team Aemond, though. Like, I can't help it.
I really think Aemond is closer to chopping off his brother's head than he is supporting him. So,
I legit think the only reason why he is supporting his brother is to get his foot in the door.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, he's like, I am wandering around town looking for this twat that doesn't even want to be king.
Yep.
I am the one that's good with a sword. I am the one that knows how to fight. I am the one that knows our history. Why the fuck am I not king?
I'm the one with the biggest dragon.
And
yeah.
You know what? Strong point. point, buddy. Not a single person here disagrees with you. Like, nope. You should, in fact, be king. Like,
agreed. I mean, well, no. Rhaenyra should be
queen. Right. Well, oh, no, no, no. Rhaenyra should be queen. But, like, if we're usurping the throne...
it should be Aemond.
Could we do it with someone who could actually stand against her? Yeah.
The problem that they're going to have... So, Aegon has the sword Blackfyre currently, right? Where is Dark Sister?
Well, here's the other thing, is I think when the Targaryens come to claim Rhaenyra's throne, I think Aemond is more likely to side with Daemon than he is with his family.
In a lot of ways, yeah. I think Aemond...
They share this, like, respect thing.
Yeah, yeah. Like
they share really this like form them, of...
We're so much alike.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think secretly Aemond wants to be Team Black. I do.
I want Aemond to be Team Black, because then I can wholeheartedly be Team Black with no hesitations.
Switch sides, buddy. I'm really hopeful that we will get to see a character named Nettles next season. That's when they start calling. So this is one of the funnier parts, and this will get incel fans triggered.
Yay! I love that.
So, the dragon seeds.
Mm-hmm.
It initially started out that the royal house said, anybody of royal blood, that has Targaryen ties,
right.
If you can claim a dragon, you will be officially a Targaryen. And you'll get titles, land, etc., right? But then it changed to, if you're a noble house...
Of course it did.
And you can tame a dragon. Then we'll give you titles and land.
Yeah.
But then, because people were freaked out by the wild dragons, especially the one called the Cannibal and Sheep Stealer, they finally were just like, okay, anybody... That can bond with a dragon, that can claim a dragon, will get titles, etc. And so this little girl, this little 15-year-old girl named Nettles, spends a period of time bonding with Sheep Stealer. And then this rumor began that, oh, well, she must have Targaryen blood, but, like, I don't think she does. I think she has Nymeria blood.
Because
I think she's from Dorne. But that will get incels really triggered, because they're like, no!
Because a random little girl claims a dragon. Yeah.
She has to be Targaryen, because only Valyrians. And I'm like, you guys know there's dragons in Sotheros, right?
No, like, they don't care.
Valyrians weren't the only dragon lords. They were the only known dragon lords. There's a reason why...
In Westeros.
In Westeros. Well, in Valyria, they were the only known dragon lords. Well, there were other dragon lords, but most notably were the Targaryens and the Valyrians. And Valyrians were more seaborne. Like, they were more, like, whatever. You guys, we got the sea, you got the sky. But nowhere in the text does it say that Valyrians are white, that Valyrians must look a certain way, other than the white hair, which could literally be
on anybody.
Like, it could be a mutation of any skin tone. And, like, nowhere does it say that the only people that ride dragons are Valyrians. It just says that they are the only known dragon riders in the known world. They don't know what's down in Sotheros. They don't really know it's even over in Essos that much. They know, like, a fraction of Essos.
Yeah.
So
I need to know that when this war breaks out, is Leonor gonna come out of hiding and fight for Rhaenyra?
In the books, he is officially dead.
But we know he's not in the show.
So I kind of think he's going to.
Because she set that up for him so that he could go live his life.
I do. I think he's going to... Well, because they were friends.
And they love each other. They do love each other. I think he's going to come back and fight for his queen.
Well, I think Rhaenys is going to be like, oh, I see what you did there.
And then that's going to solidify her relationship with Rhaenyra. I do wish... Legit. I said this last week in my review article. I was like, can you just tell his mama he's not dead and he's off living his gay life? Like, we faked his death so he could be happy and also I could be happy. Like, come on now.
Rhaenys knew. She wasn't dumb.
Rhaenys knew he was gay. Like, his parents literally talked about this. So why couldn't you just tell her that he was going to go off and be safe and happy?
Seriously, it was driving me nuts. I'm like, just tell Rhaenys what happened.
Westeros' biggest problem is a lack of communication.
Oh my gosh, she sucks at communicating. But, yeah. I feel like this show has gotten better in a lot of ways. And...
Hey, then it got weird again.
Like, I have to sleep with that in my memory tonight.
Oh yeah, you do, because so do I. Do we know who is writing the last episode? Like, who's on the writing team for this? I'm looking up all of the things right now, because IMDb, that'll tell me. Because here's the thing. And they already have the first episode listed for season 2, by the way.
Of course they do.
So, I mean, we knew it was getting it. Guess what? We were right. It was both written and directed by a man. It had one writer. It had Sarah Hess and Ryan J. Condal. So, yes. The scenes that were so obviously written by a woman were written by a woman. And actually, Claire directed it. But yes, our suspicions were, in fact, correct.
She probably fought so hard, too, for that the scenes that she wrote for.
Oh, yeah.
Ah, you can tell. That is so weird that you can tell.
Oh, like, you can tell really aggressively. Like...
It's kind of disjointing. Like, it's jarring to go from, like, man perspective to woman perspective.
Well, and it's funny because only women can tell. Men cannot tell that they're watching the female gaze.
No. They can't. Like...
They have no idea what the differences are.
My partner has actually gotten pretty good at it. He's a little better at, like, figuring out, like, something is female gaze versus male gaze.
Right.
He and I have lots of conversations about that. Like, he watched the last episode of She-Hulk, right?
Ah, yes.
And he was laughing so hard. He's like, that is the funniest thing I have ever seen in my life. He's like, there is no way men wrote that. And I'm like, nope.
They, in fact, did not. The entire series was written and directed by women.
Women. And he was like...
And you can tell... You can tell by how many internet men it pisses off whether or not it was written by women.
The fact that they were predicting this a year ago.
Because they can't tell what the female gaze is, but they can tell it pisses them off.
They're like, I'm just so angry.
They're like, she's a stupid character. This feminism is being shoved down our throats. I'm like, you mean her existing as a woman?
Yeah.
That feminism? Like, what?
That's not feminism. That's existing. Hello.
Yeah, they don't like that.
They don't. I know. They don't.
They don't like that.
But yeah, like, watching House of the Dragon, it's like, I've even asked, like, some other friends of mine, I'm like, do you feel like you're, like, getting kind of whiplash when you're watching House of the Dragon? They're like, yeah. And well, my male friends will say, yeah. They're like, yeah, yeah. I can't put my finger on it. And I'm like, probably because scene by scene is written by different people.
Well, because, I mean, we talked after, you know, the episode where I wanted to throw everything that I own at my TV. Oh my God. And the episode after that, I was like, It finished and I reached for my phone and Patrick goes, what? I go, that was written by a woman. And I checked and I go, yep, I was right. That was written by a woman. And he goes, yeah. I go, you know why? Because that was empowerment. That was women that playing was the game. That was women taking political action. Exactly. And not art house shots of a literal child Rhaenyra in a brothel with her uncle. Like,
oh,
juxtaposed by Alicent getting raped maritally. Like,
me, oh my god. That was so traumatizing for me to watch that. Because I'm like, been there, done that.
Because first of all, both of those wonderful actresses looked like children.
And they were meant to.
So.
Which is icky.
To have this very sweet, cherub-shaped face, dead staring at the ceiling, waiting for Viserys to be done doing his business on her, was... And then you have the internet filled with, well, it's Westeros, and it's her duty. I'm like, it's still marital rape. Like, I don't understand what you're not getting here.
Like, yes, it's her duty, but, like, there is a way to show that, to show that this is what she experiences, by not being the aggressor in her position, in her face.
It's also just really funny. Look at the difference in that episode, really that whole episode, and the way Rhaenyra and Daemon got together when they finally did with her as an adult. Just the
completely
way it's written.
Completely different.
Just the way it's written.
Mm-hmm. Completely different.
And I told Patrick after, my husband after, the scene where Alicent is talking to the servant girl that Aegon just fucking raped.
Yeah.
I go, that was written by a woman. And he goes, how can you, and we just look at each other. I go, because if it was written by a man, we would have had to watch it.
Yep. There is a movie, cause I actually don't particularly like movies that, like, it's really hard for me to watch something like that. Right.
I am of a very firm belief that it is never necessary.
I agree. So the movie, The Nightingale, has a scene where the main character is raped, but you don't see it. All you see is her face, and you watch the actress go from pain, dead face, back into pain, to dead face. And mm-hmm. the angle that it was done at, it's done at a Dutch angle, so it's meant to make you feel a little bit sick, right?
Right.
But that's meant to make you into her, like...
Her eyes, yeah.
Yeah. So you actually experience what she experiences. A couple of my male friends, I made them watch that. I made them watch it.
Well, because I remember watching...
And they were like, that made me feel sick. And I'm like, yeah, it was supposed to. It should.
Well, because I've been saying for years, and on my podcast, on TikTok, on anywhere that will listen to me, rape as a plot point is never necessary.
No,
that is the only way for you to figure out how to, like, have a catalyst for your character, you're a bad writer.
Agreed.
Because here's my other thing.
Now,
rape when depicted by women
is normally
you see the aftermath of it. It mostly focuses on how it affects the character that was sexually assaulted.
Yep.
You almost never see it graphically.
Yep.
And it focuses more on her than the rapist.
Yep. And
when men depict sexual assault, it's almost always graphic. It never depicts her as a person.
Nope.
And we never see the aftermath, because who gives a fuck about her feelings as a human being after something horrible happens to her?
Yeah. Well, there's one exception. And this is a hot take too, but the movie Irreversible. Now, granted, you watch the entire thing happen for 10 minutes and it is really painful, but it is all about the effects of how that bleeds out, not just from the victim, but everything around her.
Here's part two to that, is when women write sexual assault against women, they're most likely writing a version of their experience. When men write sexual assault against women, they are writing outside of their experience, and they have no right to do so.
Agreed. Oh, totally agreed. Oh,
if you want to write about the effects of something you've been through, please go for it. But if you're writing about something traumatizing that happens to most women on the planet and you're not a woman, fuck off.
That's a fair point. That's
it's not for you to write about.
Honestly, the movie Irreversible, it's not something I would ever watch again.
Yeah. Well, and here's the thing. That's my take on it. That's my take on that as a plot point. And I avoided watching The Boys for a couple of years after it came out. I watched The Boys and I came out and I'm like walking around the living room and I can't sit or say anything. And my dad goes, "You got there, didn't you?" I'm like, "But..." And you know how I hate it, and it shouldn't be a plot point, but also I understand that the show is a satire, and it's doing the exact thing I need it to do to talk about this, because sexual assault is too often used against women, specifically in comic books, and so they're doing a good thing, but they did the thing, and I hate the thing. And my dad's like, "Yeah, I knew that would break you." I'm like,
"Yeah." Yo, oh god, the source material for The Boys is so much.
Oh, and I'm so glad they went off script. Like, they took it, and... Eric Kripke went, "Nope, mine now."
No, we're not doing this.
And I love that for him.
I do too, honestly, because
also I was a Supernatural stan for like 15 years, so Eric Kripke can do whatever he wants.
I mean, Supernatural.
And he brought Jensen into it, and as far as I heard, Jeffrey Dean Morgan got cast in The Boys season 4, so it's a fucking family reunion.
Well, all right then.
He's just going to keep pulling all his favorite actors. Before you know it, The Boys is just going to be Supernatural Part 2.
We're going to start seeing Baba Yaga.
I'm okay with that. I mean, because I started laughing because Robert Singer is already in the... Or Robert is already in the... What's-his-face is already in the show. The Politician.
Because
his name is Robert Singer in the show, and I just started laughing, and Patrick goes, "What?" I go, "His name is Bobby Singer in Supernatural. That Easter egg was just for me and nobody else." And he goes, "All right."
maybe. I think sometimes, like, they're like, there's going to be that one fan that knows.
I get it.
Good grief. Anyways... House of the Dragon. It's gotten better.
It has gotten, every episode has gotten better, for sure. I am so excited for this season finale, but now I don't want to wait a week for it.
I know, I don't either.
I'm upset.
I just want to see more dragons.
I also want to see more dragons. I know they've been saving it, but like... I have so many
dragons in my house. Like, it's been dragons and unicorns.
It's the whole reason I started watching Game of Thrones. All I heard for, like, 7 years was, "Mother of Dragons, Mother of Dragons. Allie, you'll like this, Mother of Dragons." I'm like, yeah, okay, whatever. And I watched my dad made me watch the first episode, and I just looked back at him, I go, "What part of incest, rape, and, like, paralyzing a child made you think your daughter was gonna dig this show?" And so another 2 years goes by and I don't watch it.
My sweet baby dragons.
One of my best friends goes, "Just power through the first season. I promise you, just power through the first season." And then I did. And then I watched all 7 seasons in a month before season 8. So I'm like, oh, I have a problem.
Yep. I mean, same.
And also, I call my car Khaleesi and she has a Targaryen sticker on the back. So.
It's so funny because. My car's name is Meraxes. I'm trying to teach my dogs how to Dracarys bark.
That's so funny. Well, so my car's full name, by the way, is a Wanda Targaryen, because Wanda is my other, like, she's a red car also.
I love Wanda.
And Patrick goes, isn't her name Wanda Targaryen? Because I called her Khaleesi the other day. I go, yeah. Targaryen. So I called her Khaleesi, and he goes, isn't Khaleesi the name she was given by the Dothraki? I go, it's not a name, it's a title. And he goes,
the title.
He goes, but that's her name. I go, no, it's a title. So Wanda Targaryen is my car's name. Khaleesi is her title. Fuck you.
Oh, no, he didn't. Like, Khal Drogo.
That's the other thing I'll never forgive Game of Thrones for, making me fall in love with Dany and Khal Drogo when making Dany fall in love with her rapist. I'm like, excuse me? Yeah, what kind of mental gymnastics did you just make me do?
And I don't, that doesn't even happen in the books, but the way that it's done in the books might be viewed as ickier.
I think
it's a Lolita trope.
The reason it's justified in my soul is because I know their real life relationship is just the sweetest thing ever.
Oh, I know. They're like,
and
best
he absolutely buddies. Hated hurting her. Like, before every scene, he would get behind her and be like, I'm sorry. I'm like, oh.
And I've heard he's like the nicest human.
I think it's my real love for them that's getting in the way of.
It is a real love for me. Yeah. Because when I read the books, I just see those two.
Yeah. Well, I'm just saying, Jason Momoa is getting divorced, isn't he?
Oh, I thought they reconciled.
But I want him to marry Amelia.
I don't know. No way, man. I like his wife.
I mean, I read that they were having some
a lot of
issues.
Fucking hate. Like, unnecessary. That woman gets a lot of hate, Lisa Bonet.
Yeah.
For, like, no reason. Just because she doesn't smile all the time. Now,
neither do most people.
You know, like, if Jason Momoa and them broke up, I'm sure she would be like, yeah, go be with me.
Top of the list.
Because, yeah, like, they're good friends. What does this say? September 20.
Oh, are you looking it up?
What is going on here? Did they separate again?
That's what I thought.
No way. Yep. Yep. They sure did. Officially divorced September 2022.
Ah. See?
Bummer, dude. That actually bums me
out. They were together for a while, weren't they?
They have, two
kids.
Two children together. Two.
Yeah.
That actually is really
They're older-ish, though. It's not like they're super young kids. That would have sucked more.
Yeah. That's really sad, though.
Yeah.
Oh, well. Maybe he can go marry Amelia Clark.
I mean, they're already best friends.
They're already best friends.
They are just the cutest. I love watching them interact. The Graham Norton show is my favorite talk show to watch. Have you seen that man? Of course he's been on Baywatch.
He was on Stargate Atlantis?
Oh, yeah, that's where I first saw him. And I love Jason Momoa with all my heart. I think he's the sweetest human on the planet. His acting really doesn't go beyond grunts.
He has, you know what? He was a perfect Arthur Curry, Aquaman.
Maybe it was the bad script then, because I didn't. It really wasn't him. The writing was very bad.
Because
it was bad in Justice League too. So
the whole Snyderverse can just.
Oh, I'm so glad we're on the same page about that. Yeah.
When you take Superman and you try to make it a Jesus allegory, you have completely missed the point of Superman.
Also,
because I'm a Superman freak.
He's also very male-gazy with the way he writes things, so. He needs to accept that not all directors can be writers.
I really wanted to, like, sucker punch. I really did, but I can't.
That's the only evidence I need. Whenever someone comes into my comments and is like, proof to me that Zack Snyder is sexist, I just comment, sucker punch. I'm like, that's it. It's all the evidence I need. Thank you very much.
prove to me that Zack Snyder is sexist and ableist. Sucker punch.
Sucker punch. That's it. That's all I need. Because not only was that movie so horrible.
Because there is potential for something good to come out of Sucker Punch.
Yeah, but here's the thing. When Zack Snyder has full creative freedom, only bad things happen because he's not a good storyteller.
Well, yeah,
I think he would be a phenomenal cinematographer, but that's all he gets to do.
So in the upcoming, Dune came out in 2021, right? And then we have the second part coming up of that with Jason Momoa. This is just to show, because he is actually a perfect cast for Duncan Idaho.
Yeah.
Because I live in Tacoma, like Washington, so like we're all about fucking Frank Herbert here. Like this was Frank Herbert's like hometown. So if you look at his acting in Dune as opposed to Aquaman, when they were kind of like they were final, like right at one was right after the other when they started shooting. Perfect casting for Aquaman, right? Because Aquaman shouldn't be a white guy. I'm sorry. It's weird.
Nope.
It's super weird. He should be Pacific Islander. And then you got Duncan Idaho, who doesn't really have any physical description. Literally could be anybody, and they chose Jason Momoa. Why? Because he actually can act if he's given a good script.
Right.
And then you look at Aquaman, and when people are telling me they like Aquaman, I'm like, what did you like about it? Please tell me, what did you like about it?
I thought it was a poorly done Black Panther.
Like, I would really like someone to tell me, like, one single plot point in that movie.
It had none.
All I remember is Nicole Kidman fighting in the beginning, him fighting his brother twice, and randomly Black Manta is there for a second.
Also, are we pretending that Amber Heard was ever a good casting choice? Like, think what you want about her as a person, but she's a bad
actress. She's not a good actress.
She's also not hot enough to pull off being a bad actress. So, I don't understand the casting choice at all.
Picking her as Mira was weird.
It was a bad decision.
But she's better suited for, like, final girl trope. But, like, she could be a subverted final girl trope. Like, you know what I mean? I'll fight people tooth and nail. Justice for Amber Heard.
And that's fine. I just don't think she should be cast in stuff anymore.
No. No, she's a terrible actress.
Yeah.
She's the first to admit it. Like,
she's not a good actress.
She's not.
I have nothing against her personally. I just think she's bad at her job.
Did you watch the TV series The Stand?
No. Worse? Oh no. Oh no.
Her as Nadine Cross was like. Her scenes were so hard to watch. And you know what? I don't have anything against them. Whatever, man. Like,
right.
She's a terrible actress. It was so hard watching her.
Like, just find a different career path, because this one is not.
Go write a book. Go write a book or something. I feel like she has enough life experience that she could write some really interesting books.
And that's fine. But no one ever needs to see her act again.
God, she's a terrible actress. Who else? There's somebody else that people really don't like, that they're like, oh, such a good actor. I'm such a good actress. And I'm like, are they?
I mean, Harry Styles in Don't Worry, Darling really bothered the hell out of me.
I mean, he's a singer.
And you can tell, but his stupid little teeny bopper fans are like, oh my god, he was so good. I'm like, oh my god, he couldn't make a fucking facial expression.
Ed Sheeran in Game of Thrones, going back, full circle, back to that.
That was so random. Also, like, why did we do that?
Sitting there going, what the fuck is Ed Sheeran doing in my TV series?
Why did we do this?
Why is he here?
By then, the show was just so big that they're like, celebrities like it. We should have them on. I'm like, we shouldn't,
actually.
And what
a missed opportunity for Arya to just, like, kill them. Because that's what she had become.
Yep.
And she just walks away.
Also, Arya changing her faces only once and then it never being brought up again. I'm like, wasn't that, like, her whole thing that she was training for, like, this whole last series? Like...
It was her whole plot line in season 5 and 6.
Also, who better to lead us than Bran the Broken? I'm like, I don't know, maybe people who weren't off
center story. Literally, Rickon!
maybe people who weren't off screen for an entire ass season, like anybody else, really.
Sansa's right there.
I don't even like Sansa and agree. Like,
who better than... I mean...
I can't be a lord. I'm the three-eyed raven. I'm gonna be king, though.
And you totally had a better story.
What?
Sit down, uncle.
So bad. So bad.
Did you catch the water bottles?
Yes.
I'll never forgive the laziness of that show. I will
never forgive the plot armor during the big fight scene with the White Walkers. One-handed Jaime and Sam. Sam was swarmed. You're telling me that this bitch ass, who we have confirmed, established, that cannot fight, survived being swarmed by White Walkers? No. I love Sam too, guys. He should have died. Like,
everybody was being... And then Arya teleporting through the light.
So you're telling me you finally got me to like Theon and he had to die, but Sam is still alive. Okay. Sure.
Yep. See,
you're telling me I've been dealing with Cersei's bullshit for several seasons now and she gets killed by all of 2 bricks.
And they didn't even give her her elephants. Do you remember how mad she was?
Because here's the thing. Season 8's writing was bad for everybody.
God.
Like Dany was never the tactical mind, but she wasn't stupid. She wouldn't see the only thing that could kill her dragon, and then that could not turn, by the way, and then fly right over it. She would have swooped up and burned it from behind.
They had a bird's eye view. Dany kind of forgot about the Iron Fleet. Is she fucking blind?
Because
I'm going to tell you
tactical,
that Rhaegal and
Viserion
were not.
Whoever was their tactical writer for the rest of the series also was just shit to everyone. Because, like, again, in that fight with the White Walkers, we have dragons, but we're going to send the Dothraki in first on horseback?
Oh, my God. Okay, so season 7.
What?
The last episode, right, when Dany goes to rescue Jon and the rest of the crew from the Whites on the ice, right?
Which I wouldn't have done. She's nicer than me.
So you have Daenerys on Drogon on the ground. On the ground. And you're telling me that the Night King shoots at Viserion in the sky?
And also Viserion just kind of took it, like he didn't go anywhere.
And then, oh, they did my baby Rhaegal so bad. They did him so dirty.
Also,
got him survived to, like, die the next episode.
Also, the response from everybody else, like, oh, our king of the North, rode a dragon. I'm like, Dany's been riding dragons for several seasons, and also they're her dragons, but okay. Sure.
Gonna point something out here. If Jon got on Rhaegal, this is a world in which we know that anybody can get on a dragon. We, as the audience, know that. However, Westeros, as far as they are concerned,
only Targaryens.
Only Targaryens can ride dragons in their knowledge from what they have known, right? So that didn't set off alarm bells for anybody?
They're stupid.
Like, that's a little fucking weird.
It's absolutely fucked. Honestly, season 8 was so poorly written. I am pretty sure D&D just sat there and went, just fucking get it over with.
Like, well, we kind of forgot that we didn't have any more source material.
Well, because if you look at it, every independent decision they made, even when they had source material, was a dumbass decision. Like, every bad part of season 1 through 5 was their original thoughts. So, why did we think these men could carry anything else?
They are really good at adaptation. They are really good at adaptation. Especially
when they're not good at the everything else part.
It's when they want to make it more realistic.
Right.
But when it came to the end of the line for that, they were kind of... And what's insane is David Benioff has a book. And I only know this simple fact because I played The Last of Us 2. And the character Abby is reading a book. And I happened to, like, go into photo mode because I wanted to see what was around me. Because I'm a weirdo when I game like that. And I'm all, does that say fucking David Benioff?
Well, here's the thing.
And I had to look the book up and it exists. And
you
it
had
is.
You had 5 solid books. You had 5 seasons of source material. At that point, in adapting source material, if you are a storyteller, if you are a good writer, you can fill in the fucking blanks.
Well, and you should have some idea, like...
of where the characters are going?
Of where it's going to go, even if it veers from what... If those books don't get finished. Even if it veers from that...
Because no one would have cared, because he hasn't fucking written anything.
It should be an alternate trajectory that still fits within the norms of that world. Instead, they were like, you know what? Fuck it.
And that's what bothers me, is I believe adaptations take a specific skill, but I don't believe you're an actual artist if that's all you do.
Agreed.
Because adapting someone's work is not nearly as hard as creating your own.
Yeah, so, like, I will say this, even with House of the Dragon, even though, like... some of the scenes
are questionable.
It's still really good adaptation from Fire and Blood.
Yeah.
It, like, really is. Like, especially if you read Fire and Blood, it being a history book where you're like, okay, but what? Like, what?
What was how did it feel? Like, we're getting the how did it feel part.
Yeah, like, what actually was said between these two?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And yeah. I actually like that, you know, I like that Rhaenyra and Alicent had somewhat of rapport.
Mm-hmm.
I really wish they hadn't made them, like, friends, like that. It feels very Brittany versus Christina circa 2002.
Well, and here's the thing, is they leaned into that so hard, and it's so funny because the second I saw them on screen together, and, like, Alicent is walking up into somewhere else, and Rhaenyra is just looking up at her, I'm like, gay, they're gay.
They're so gay.
Patrick just looks at me, I was like, no, they're gay. And then they kept, like, not acknowledging that. I'm like, no, fuck you, they're hella gay.
just acknowledge it. They loved each other.
But then for them to, like, I'm sorry, you married your bestie's dad. Like, you didn't think that there was going to be some emotional consequences for that?
You didn't think to talk to her about that and be like, hey, so this
She had to find out here. At the council meeting when Viserys announced it to everybody else?
Yeah, like, that's, like, your friend. Like, sit your so friend down up. And be like, this is what my dad is telling me to do.
My dad is pushing me to do this.
Of all the people who would have understood Rhaenyra.
It would have been Rhaenyra. See, had they kept that relationship, had they actually... See, that's what bothers me. They set them up to be best friends, but they didn't actually act like they were best friends.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, that's how you can tell a man wrote that, because absolutely no.
That's not how...
Actual young females would have bonded the fuck over their dads being assholes. How did you not get there? Like,
They would have... Because I mean, like I said... Oh, yeah, no, I totally get why you have to do
like
this.
Like I said when we were watching it, like... Had they actually committed to writing that relationship, Alicent would have backed off, Rhaenyra would have been named heir, she would have eventually become queen, and Alicent would have been hand to the queen. Easy. Yeah.
Well, unfortunately, George R. R. Martin wrote one thing, and they were like, we have to get there. No, you don't. It's an adaptation.
But they didn't even think about writing female friendships. They went, this is going to suck more if they're best friends. Okay, but then write them to be best friends, and you didn't do that.
Yeah, like, make them be, take your time with it. Like, but I know why they're not taking their time. I know why they're blowing through it.
That's the other thing, like with the time jumps, like I know that they're trying to stay true to the adaptation, so I'm assuming we weren't on the young girls for very long in the books.
No.
But here's the thing.
You're actually on younger Rhaenyra and younger Alicent longer than you are on older Rhaenyra and older Alicent.
So the time jumps for me, that's... It left so much of the story untold. We should have had an entire season of the younger versions of these girls.
Yeah, that to me is not them being lazy, necessarily, but them thinking that they weren't going to get a second season because of the merger of Discovery and HBO and Warner Brothers.
See, but they're only canceling these shows that are either led by, written about, or liked by females. So, House of the Dragon apparently is a very male-heavy show. It's considered a fandom show, so therefore, it should be safe. It's getting season two.
We can hope, but I don't know. I don't hold out a whole lot of hope for female, like, front fantasy.
I don't either.
Entertainment.
When they first came out with like their, I'm assuming you saw their breakdown of what Discovery Plus was going to be and what HBO Max was going to be. And I looked at my husband. I go, babe, I don't even know if I'm allowed to have the HBO Max. We might have to put it under your name because I have ovaries. I don't know if I'm allowed to watch it.
Like, I know. I told my partner, I was like, yeah, I might just get rid of it. And he's like, well, I'm all. Because I don't have a dick.
It's not for us. It said male-centered.
Male-centered.
Male-centered. Because that's where the nerd stuff lives.
Awakening.
Too bad I watch more of the nerd stuff than any man I've ever met in my life.
Who was it? I want to say it was Anita Sarkeesian has been, like, compiling data on what the nerd fandoms actually are.
Mm-hmm.
Like, ratio. Mm-hmm. And it... I want to say on her podcast, Feminist Frequency, that I heard that it like was heavily leaning towards more female geared. Like it's it's a lot more female geared. It's a lot more POC. It's a lot more queer nowadays. And that the hetero cis male, white male, is like the small fraction.
Well, they're globally a minority, so that doesn't surprise me.
Yeah. So.
They're just a loud minority.
God, they're so loud. They're so loud and so dumb and so wrong. I love when they're so loud and they're so wrong, and I'm like.
My favorite is when they're wrong with their whole chest, like they think they're right, and then you're like, receipts. And they're like, well, that's not what I said.
Unfertilized egg, ma'am.
Is it? Is it, though?
Sir.
Science?
What?
Science.
How did you get to embryo? We have steps to get to.
They don't know.
They really don't know. And it's really funny. I love it, though. I love proving I'm wrong. That's my Aries rising, okay? When, I get to be a little bit snappy and snarky. I'm like, bitch.
I don't know. They're fun. When the Snyder Cut came out, Snyder fans are the fucking worst. I had to turn off my TikTok comments because of the sheer amount of death and rape threats I got from Snyder fans. Yes.
Oh no, I got some pretty interesting ones when I said, yeah, the Zack Snyder cut was good in comparison.
In comparison. The bar was in hell, but sure.
The bar was literally non-existent.
And now it's just buried 6 feet under. Like
we have the Justice League and we have the Justice League. And honestly,
and here's the thing. I understand that Joss Whedon is also a bad person, but any director stepping in to a 90% finished project was not going to give you a good movie.
No.
It wasn't going to happen.
And my big question to Mr. Snyder, Was that extra 2 hours, like, necessary?
It, in fact, wasn't. First of all, a half hour of it was slow motion. And then the other another half hour of it was scenes that lingered too long that easily could have just cut away sooner.
The weird music.
Oh, God, thank you. That's what I was just about to say.
The weird music.
Also, why were the Amazons in leather bikinis when Wonder Woman was done filming and you already had the battle-ready, mythologically, historically accurate costumes done?
Because, babes. Babes.
I have questions.
Oh my God.
I had someone try to comment on one of my TikTok videos. They're like, I bet you wouldn't say that to Zack Snyder's face. I'm like, fucking bet.
Yes,
bring
I
me
would.
Zack Snyder right now. I would absolutely love to have a conversation with why
you
he's a
dumbass.
You know what,
though? Is crazy to me about Zack Snyder, though, is I feel like if somebody was bold enough to say it to his face, he would, like, be kicked back on his heels and be like, oh, I will try to fix that. Because I have seen small evolutions in his film material. Like, you can see that he wants to understand it. He wants to understand it.
I don't
he
know if he physically
can. He just needs the right
can.
Person to sit down with him.
He needs, no, like, what he needs is someone to keep him the fuck in check. And he keeps demanding full creative freedom on these films when he does not have the talent to do that.
True. True.
No, and nearly no director does. Directors that have turned writers are always bad. Writers that have turned directors are better. Oh my God, that was so bad. So bad. It was so bad. Oh my God, it was so bad.
It's like, no, we're not getting, we can't even get into how racist Josh Boone is, but.
It was so bad.
He decided to write on it, and I'm like, so he didn't understand the demon bear plotline at all.
No.
Also, why did you randomly make magic racist?
There were so many flaws with that movie.
Ileana Rasputina was not a racist. She was anything but a racist.
It was just really rough. I remember going to watch that. I was like, I need to write a review because this is the thing I do. And it started and I'm like 5 minutes in and I just pushed my notebook to the side and the person I was with goes, I thought you were writing a review. I was like, I have nothing good to say. he goes, and I stopped at a certain point caring about balancing my reviews.
So hard for me to say
with positive and negative, but. Like now I'll just write a fully negative review. I don't care.
How do you say that about a movie with Anya Taylor-Joy in it? Justifiably, one of the better up-and-coming actresses.
I know, but it was so bad. I almost left halfway through Dark Phoenix.
Maisie Williams has so much potential.
Oh, she's an amazing actress. It was just a bad movie.
The girl who played Danny Moonstar, also phenomenal actress. But it was so bad.
It was so
bad.
Why
was it so bad?
It's still, I would still watch that again before I watched Dark Phoenix again. But I was taking notes and everything. And I looked at my dad and I go, we're like halfway through. And I looked at my dad. I'm like, that's not how this works. That's not how any of this works. And at a certain point, I just threw my notebook. I'm like, fuck it. I can't do it.
They need to retire the Dark Phoenix.
They don't know how
story.
To do it. Well,
we need
specifically
to let it rest
with,
for a little
with
bit.
That
you know
movie,
what I mean?
It felt like they were trying to do Phoenix Force and Dark Phoenix without understanding that they were separate entities and without understanding what either of them were entirely.
Agreed.
So I'm like, I understand that it's hard to depict overpowered heroes, so stop it.
Like, and they always have to make the overpowered woman hero go insane.
Mentally and emotionally unstable. Yes. It's the overpowered women trope. I have an entire podcast episode about it, and I have an ongoing list of comic book characters it applies to.
Wanda Maximoff, Jean Grey, Storm at one point.
Sue Storm at that point.
Sue Storm.
Raven. Raven, you know, who literally Raven, who literally starts to look like a demon when she has emotions.
Raven, who literally locks her father in her mind and he starts to slowly drive her insane.
Yeah.
Yay.
Yeah. I have lots of thoughts. Yay. I am specifically a female comic book character, comic book historian, and I have many, many lists.
Yeah. You see what my little dog is doing here?
So cute.
He has to go outside. So I'm going to have to... I am going to have to bid you adieu, my dear.
It's all good. I should start editing
this.
Because
he is getting antsy. I can tell because he's like, kip, kip, kip. I'm like, okay.
No worries. Cool. Well, thank you for doing this with me.
Yeah.
We will have to talk again after the finale.
Yeah, let's do another one another time, for sure.
Yeah.
We'll have to talk about the Krogan finale. I know I'm gonna have mixed feelings on it.
I'm gonna have some thoughts.
Yep.
I know we consume a lot of the same media too. So if you want to talk about She-Hulk or whatever too, we can do that.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Oh my god. I will talk about She-Hulk all day. Jen Walters was like a hyper fixation for me in high school. So
yes. I loved the show.
So. Because it was one of the few dark haired, tall.
Yeah.
Superheroes that I could relate to, so.
Yeah.
Anyways, I'm gonna get my dog going.
Awesome. Good night.
I'll see you later.
Bye. Bye.
Hello, everyone. Thank you for listening. I just wanted to hop on here and say that the new website is live. So click the link in the descriptions or go to alexandriacallahan.com, and there you will find links to all of my Temple of Geek stuff, my favorite sartorial geek stuff, as well as some original and self-published reviews and news and opinions and analysis and all of those fun things. The YouTube will be live in a couple of weeks, starting with a Riverdale video essay, because that show is batshit bonkers and I can't wait to talk about it. So I will talk to you all soon. Thank you for listening, and I hope to see you, hear from you next time. Bye.